Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as President-elect Trump walks back some of the most inflammatory things he said during the campaign, here's one that he has walked back to some degree but is still very controversial in its revised form. He had originally said he would create a registry for all Muslims in the United States because of terrorism linked to radicals in the name of the religion, a registry based solely on religion. It was widely seen as un-American. Now the plan is for a registry of foreigners who enter the United States from countries with major terrorism problems. There's no list of those countries yet, but they are expected to be a handful of mostly Muslim countries, maybe plus North Korea. Maybe you've heard this exchange from last week between Carl Higbee, who ran a pro-Trump super PAC during the campaign, and Megyn Kelly on Fox News Channel, as Higbee argued that such a registry would be constitutional.
Well, honestly, it is legal. They say it'll hold constitutional muster. I know the ACLU is going to challenge it, but I think it'll pass. And we've done it with Iran back a while ago. We did it during World War II with Japanese, which, you know, call it what you
Come
will,
on.
maybe
you're
wrong.
Not, you're not proposing we go back to the days of internment camps, I hope.
No. I'm not proposing that at all, Megan. But what I am saying is that
we need to protect
America.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets people scared, Carl.
Right. But I'm just saying there is precedent for it, and I'm not saying I agree with it. But in this case, I absolutely believe that a regional
base... You can't be citing Japanese internment camps as precedent for anything the president-elect is going
to
do.
Look, the president needs to protect America first. And if that means having people that are not protected under our Constitution have some sort of registry so we can understand until we can identify the true threat and where it's coming from, I support it.
You get the protections once you come here.
Carl Higbee with Megyn Kelly. Higbee, a former Navy SEAL who ran a pro-Trump super PAC during the campaign. That was on Fox News Channel. He mentioned in that clip that the ACLU would object. And with us now is Omar Jadwat, staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants' Rights Project. Welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Brian. It's good to be here.
Do you object to the idea in what is believed to be its current form, a registry of people from selected countries that have concentrations of people who adhere to violent anti-U.S. ideology?
I just want to back up for a second and remind folks that there's a lot of different stuff out there. Some people are still talking about it and directly in terms of being a Muslim registry. Other folks are saying that it's some kind of, you know, one step removed type effort where you go after countries that have a lot of Muslims in them. But I think that, you know, either way.
Can we say that nobody's talking about it in the way that they talked about the Japanese during World War II, that Muslims already here, people born in the United States, people are U.S. citizens, legal residents, that they would have to like go to offices everywhere around the country and register? Because that's what people, I think, originally heard Trump to say much earlier in the campaign about a Muslim registry.
I mean, again, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to know exactly what's on people's minds, but there's certainly, I think, still actively being discussed a registration system that would require people who are legally in this country, who are lawful permanent residents as well as temporary visitors, to do exactly what you said, go to offices, register, submit to re-interviews on a periodic basis, you know, create a whole intricate set of rules that, you know, not only obviously would be intrusive, discriminatory, cause stigma to people, but, you know, and this is the real kicker, create a system where if you fail to abide by those rules, you're then guilty of, you know, at a minimum, some kind of immigration violation, maybe even a crime. And so then create a way, you know, to kind of trap innocent people into a situation where they could be deported or prosecuted for just trying to follow the rules.
Now, Trump supporters say this isn't even new. This would mostly be a revival of the NSEERS program, which was in effect from shortly after 9/11 until 2011. NSEER stands for National Security Entry and Exit Program. As CNN describes it, it did not suspend immigration from those countries, but rather required an additional layer of screening for people coming from countries inhabited by known terrorists like Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, all Muslim-majority nations. The screening included extensive interviews, fingerprinting, and for some, monthly checks. Is that accurate? And did the NSEER's program, as it existed, create civil liberties problems, in your opinion, and actual problems for people, as you were speculating before, that this one might?
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, some of the problems I talked about were problems with this previous system called special registration, or NSEER. One piece that I think may have gotten a little bit lost in the description you read is that it didn't only apply to people who were coming to this country for the first time. And you may remember from, you know, 2002 in New York City, tens of thousands of people who were in this country lawfully and living peacefully in the United States were required to report, to submit to interviews, fingerprinting, and all that sort of stuff as part of the special registration system. And I think that that's, you know, a very important piece of it, and one that, you know, would, if they did some kind of reinvigoration of this special registration system, would obviously be part of it again. And yes, I mean, there were huge civil liberties problems with NSEER, you know, starting with the fact that it was racially discriminatory, or, you know, discriminatory on the basis of religion. If you look at the list of countries from which people were required to be registered, you know, that is a list of Muslim countries plus North Korea. You know, it was very unfair to the people who were subjected to its terms because the rules of the program were complicated, were always shifting. Lots of innocent people got caught up in it. And, you know, I want to underline, this is not just the ACLU saying this stuff. If you look at the report that the Department of Homeland Security's own inspector general did on the NSEER system, they talk about how officials of Customs and Border Protection said that it was the OIG found that the system was so complicated that innocent people were getting caught up in it. The people from the Customs and Border Protection Agency talked about how it was a waste of their time. It was unproductive. It was counterproductive in the sense that it was taking them away from other activities. And, you know, obviously the head of the INS at the time, which is the immigration agency back then, said that not a single terrorist was identified as a result of the NSEER system. he thought that it was not only counterproductive because it destroyed relationships with Muslim communities around the country, but also really harmed our foreign relations with Muslim countries, the ones that were subjected to this additional registration requirement.
And I don't remember law enforcement ever claiming that anything from the NSEER registry helped them stop a potential terrorist attack.
That's right. I mean, in the 9/11.
But if that's the case, why do you think they want it? If it hurts our relations with other countries, if it's a waste of time for law enforcement and other administrators, why is Trump on this thing?
Well, I mean,
in your opinion, you know, as an ACLU lawyer.
let me put it this way. If you actually want to make the country safer, NSEER is not the way to do it. If what you want to do is discriminate against Muslims, send a message of hostility to Muslim communities, actually make the country less safe in the process, and trap thousands of innocent people in a bureaucratic mess, then NSEER is a really good way to do that, right? That's the evidence that's out there. That's the evidence from what government officials who were there at the time have said. You know, that's what you have. You have, you know, a clear lack of any legitimate governmental purpose for doing this activity. And this history of hostile remarks towards Islam, discussions of a Muslim registry, you know, and so that's, you know, that's the only real explanation that could explain why they would put a program like this in place. And I want to emphasize that nothing's been done, right? There's no There's no special registration in system in place now. There's no requirement. You know, nobody has committed to putting one in place, at least clearly. And because of this, because of the what we've learned from the experiences of the past, because of our constitutional commitment to religious freedom and against religious discrimination, it would still be surprising.
If it goes forward?
If it goes forward, I think. Because they're really this really, you know, there's no legitimate reason to do this.
So this is you as – not as ACLU staff attorney but as political analyst, that this was useful for Trump on the campaign, but there's no point to it as policy, so you think it's going to fade away.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's political analysis so much as just saying, you know, when folks – you know, these folks are going to have to govern and they're going to have to make decisions that are, you know, consistent with the law and the Constitution and common sense or not. And if they don't, obviously, that's a whole different discussion.
And we can only hope, Omar, right? Because the worst thing about the Trump campaign as a presidential campaign was that it was willing to use people's bigotry and raised people's fears of others if they were not in the groups he was raising the fear of to such a degree that it's really dangerous. That I don't have to tell you that people are in fear, people are crying. I saw David Gergen on CNN last night, who's such a moderate, having worked for Reagan and Clinton and some other presidents, and he teaches at the university level, and he never raises his voice. And he was so upset about the hate that Trump has refused to denounce so far, even after being elected, and that he has students who are coming to him at the university level crying and afraid. And, you know, it was really something to see this coming out of the mouth of the always measured David Gergen. And if Trump can show that he just was using this for political purposes, which is bad enough. That's being enough of a demagogue. But that he's going to drop it when he's in office. Well, that would be the best news we've had all week.
It would be good news. That's for sure.
Rachel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I wanted to say two things. One, I hope that the Brian Lehrer Show and the ACLU and others will continue to just be very explicit in the condemnation of these ideas, amongst so many other horrible Trump ideas. And then the other thing is, if there is a registry, then we all have to register. That's what you do. You say, okay, I'm a Muslim, you know, and that's the only possible response from all of us. It's better than demonstrations, because that's true. We are all Muslims if there's this kind of undemocratic oppression.
Rachel, I hear you. Here's somebody who's going to back you up. Nick is ready to sign up with your movement. And I know this didn't start with you, Rachel, but hi, Nick. Go ahead and voice it.
Hi. Yeah, thanks. Rachel said exactly my sentiment. I remember in during World War II, the King of Denmark put a Jewish star on his jacket on television when they were rounding up the Jews in Denmark to say that we're all Jews and this is the time to show, you know, if you're American, you have any compassion for your fellow Americans, this is the time to show
step
it.
Step up and say, I am a Muslim, we are all Muslims. Do you think that's a good idea, Omar, if this registry were to come to pass? Do you want a lot of non-Muslims going to sign up to stand in solidarity?
I mean, particular tactics, I think, you know, we'll see what they actually do on this. But I think the basic idea that solidarity with people who are being discriminated against by the government, you know, taking individual actions to try to stand up to injustice and government misconduct, you know, that's really important. And I think you know, will be even more important if we see this administration acting on its promises to discriminate and to be hostile to people based on their religion.
Higby, also the Trump super PAC leader who was in that interview with Megyn Kelly, also made the distinction in the clip between people who are protected by the Constitution, meaning, I guess, residents of this country, and foreigners who enter who are not protected by the Constitution. And Megyn Kelly responded that they're protected by the Constitution once they get here. Are protections identical for residents and visitors alike? They're not, right?
I mean, there's nuances to how the Constitution works, you know, in different circumstances. But Megyn Kelly was right, which is that when you come to this country, you get the protections of the Constitution. And, you know, the Constitution couldn't be clearer about religious discrimination, right? It's just not legal. It's not constitutional. And it's never been found to be constitutional with respect to immigrants, with respect to citizens, with respect to people inside the country or people seeking to enter the country.
Higby mentioned that famous Supreme Court decision, Korematsu, from the 1940s, putting the imprimatur of the Supreme Court on the Japanese internment program, generally considered to be one of the worst decisions the Supreme Court ever made. And I think even Justice Scalia in his lifetime denounced it. But it's still in effect technically.
Let me put it this way. As a lawyer, if that's your opponent's best case, you feel pretty good about it because that is, I think, widely understood to be one of the worst decisions in Supreme Court history, one of the most shameful. And I don't see any Supreme Court doubling down on that mistake.
Ellen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ellen.
Oh, hi. I was saying to your screener that I had been researching the occupation in France and that one of the first measures that the occupiers, the Nazis, took was to register the foreign Jews, especially. I mean, all the Jews eventually had to register, but that was the first thing, was the foreign Jews, the people who either were of foreign extraction or were immigrants.
That's a great point. I knew about the registration, and that's already why it has so much of an echo of the early days of the Nazi era, which is not to say that Trump is a Nazi or that he's going to go to where the Nazis went, but just that this is the kind of first step, and given the rhetoric that's been around in the last year, that has Muslims and other people very, very nervous. And that's a very interesting point of history that I didn't know. Are you aware of that, Omar, that the first step was to register the foreign Jews in France?
I wasn't. What I would say is that I think, you know, it's not unusual for foreigners to be the, you know, the first people who bear the brunt of any kind of, you know, repressive or unjust government action.
Because they're the most politically vulnerable.
Yeah. And, you know, and so I think that it is especially important for all of us to pay very close attention, you know, honestly, not just to what happens on this registration question, but to all of what the administration does with respect to immigrants and non-citizens in the United States.
My guest is Omar Jadwat, staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants Rights Project. Before you go, let me touch on a couple of other things. How concerned are you that General Michael Flynn has been named National Security Advisor after having said things like it's rational to fear Muslims? It may not be precisely an ACLU legal issue, but does it have resonance with the areas in which you work?
Yeah, and I should be clear, like, we don't take generally positions on appointments. And so, you know, I'm not going to speak about him as a person. What is it inappropriate, I think, for somebody in high government office to make disparaging, maybe worse than disparaging. Disparaging doesn't really capture it, but those kinds of remarks about a religion repeatedly, right? Not just in one tweet, but in multiple statements. Yeah, that is not what people in government should be doing. Again, it's disturbing.
I interviewed General Flynn in July during the Republican convention. And I want to play a 30-second exchange we had about the term radical Islamic terrorism, which, of course, he and Trump feel strongly should be used to name the enemy. We get interrupted here because of what's going on at the stage at the convention. But listen to this.
These guys espouse a component of Islam that is a sort of it's a very radicalized
right.
version
well,
of
course.
It.
Like, well, they call it that. But
we can't,
most
call it un-Islamic. It is Islamic.
But most of the world's Muslims, I get calls on the radio show all the time from Muslims who say ISIS is not just evil, they're un-Islamic. So if we called it un-Islamic terrorism, then we'd be identifying with the majority of the world's Muslims and isolate the enemy. Why not?
No, you're wrong. Well, you're wrong. I'm telling you that you're wrong.
And then the national anthem started, and we had to stop. I would have liked to hear his pushback, but I'll stand by my position. I still like my position that we should call it un-Islamic terrorism because that's what the majority of the world's Muslims consider it to be. But any reaction to that from a civil liberties standpoint, not just an effectiveness in the war on terror standpoint, which, again, is not your area at the ACLU?
I mean, again, it would – you know, I think what it – what it tells us about is how to look at what this administration does, right? I mean, it basically – these kinds of statements, the statements that disparage the entire religion, the statements that say we want to create a registry, all those sorts of things, you know, help us understand down the line what the administration is really trying to do. And it I think, removes from their side the argument that, you know, something that we're doing that kind of walks like a duck and talks like a duck isn't actually a duck, right? They've told us, you know, we believe in ducks. We got a beautiful duck for you. You know, we're going to put ducks into place. And so
correct.
I think that's what it means.
You know? Last thing. Are you documenting at the ACLU hate crimes or hate speech aimed at Muslims or others since the election? Some incidents have been shown to be hoaxes, which some Trump supporters are seizing on to minimize the problem and make it look like it's just people trying to make Trump look bad. But most reported incidents of swastikas and other hate speech have not been reputed, and there have just been so many. Is there a response that you're looking from the president-elect or from the justice system?
Well, you know, I mean, I think that you know, hate should not be part of our political discourse, and that I think that you know, we would expect our political leaders, including our president-elect, to underline that fact. And you know, crimes should be prosecuted, right? That hurt people, and so that's, you know, that's what we would expect to happen. And I think,
but not speech. So where's the line?
That's a whole nother segment.
All right. Let's hold that in abeyance and do it another time, okay?
Okay.
Omar Jadwat, staff attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union Immigrants' Rights Project.